Om Gyana Chimanandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunyamitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare On this wonderful blissful celebration of Govardhan Puja, first I'd like to speak about the situation with Indra, his arrogance, his pride, the very things he was accusing the cowherd people of Vrindavan of, he possessed. Today I will speak about that. And tonight, if you're coming tonight, I will speak about the prayers by Lord Indra that he offered after coming to his senses. But now, let's go straight to the middle of the crisis. Krishna has convinced the residents of Vrindavan that all the ingredients and resources gathered for the Indra Puja should be used for worshipping Govardhan Hill. Now Indra has fully understood what's going on. His sacrifice has been put aside. His glorification has been put aside. His puja has been ignored. What was his response? He became furious. Do you know how it feels to become furious about something? Furious is not just regular anger. Furious means you're boiling, you're exploding. Yes, it's happened to you sometimes before. And what is the offense of the residents of Vrindavan? They have neglected Indra's puja. They have neglected showing attention to Indra. Can you remember in your life sometimes when you thought you were being minimized, overlooked, bypassed, ignored? It makes you feel very angry, even if you don't say it. How dare someone minimize my glories? How dare someone overlook me? Even if you can control your mind and senses, still, you feel a little something, a little twinge. I have been minimized. I have been ignored. Lord Caitanya said, lower than the strong speak, more powerful than the king. Now, Indra lost his temper completely. He's so furious. And his main problem was he could not believe that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was actually dwelling in Vrindavan as a little cowherd boy. Please understand this. It is not that Indra was a demon. It's not that he's anti-Krishna. It's just he became bewildered by Krishna Leela. This happens even among the most educated, so-called knowledgeable people of this world. They consider Krishna to be an ordinary person. So Indra, in observing the Raj Leela, thought, who is this little boy? There's no doubt he has some powers, but why should the whole town of Vrindavan come under his influence and neglect my puja? So please remember that. It's not that Indra is against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's just he couldn't recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. He's not a Vrindavasi. He's a demigod with the controlling tendency. Demigods are devotees of the Lord, but as you know, they are attached to power and control. So, Indra is now going to make his response. How can the residents of Vrindavan accept Krishna as their Lord? And what is our correct vision? How can they not accept Krishna as their all in all? Now the fact is, the Vrindavasis don't accept Krishna as God. They accept him as more than God. They accept him as their everything. Their life, their soul, their pleasure. Now, Indra is going to embark upon his famous response that he'll forever, eternally be remembered for. He called the Samvartika clouds. Samvartika! You see, everything is a person. Modern science considers this view of nature to be very primitive. Primitive people think there's a personality behind all the functions of nature. And what is the alternative they give you? What is the brilliant alternative they give you? Matter can do amazing things, given enough time and enough chance. Why do you fools believe in demigods? But to speak of a supreme personality of God, believe in matter. Matter has extraordinary potencies. And give us enough research funds as your scientists, and we'll show you one day the extraordinary potencies of matter. Matter can produce life. Matter can produce consciousness. Everything comes from matter. Love, happiness. The devotees do not give so much attention to matter as an entity in itself. We understand that there is the soul and the supreme soul, and only because of the presence of the soul and the supreme soul does matter appear to have some value. In Sanskrit, matter is known as Dvitiya, the second, or as Lord Brahma says, Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bhavati Durga. Matter is the shadow potency of the Lord. So, once we can understand how consciousness, the energy of the soul, is so much more important than matter, then we have no problem understanding that behind all the material functions of nature, there's a personality. There's Indra, the king of heaven, and he has his Samvartika clouds. They're persons. So he called them Samvartika. Go to Vrindavan and drown the whole place with water. As you know, the Samvartika clouds are only supposed to come out at the time of universal annihilation. They can fill the whole universe with water. Yet Indra is so angry that he's calling the Samvartika clouds of annihilation just to flood Vrindavan. This is real anger, due to his not being able to recognize Krishna, due to his feeling that his false prestige has been violated. I'd like you to remember that point today. The anger that comes when your false prestige is violated. When you're overlooked, neglected. This is Indra's problem. The puja meant for me has been given to Krishna. Think about that in your hearts. The puja meant for me has been neglected. Everyone knows what it's like to feel neglected by someone. Especially if that person is very dear to you. If you're neglected, if you're overlooked, you feel angry. After all I've done for that person. So Indra is feeling like that. After all I've done for the Vrindavasis, I send the rain that causes the grass to grow. And because the grass grows, the cows prosper. And because the cows prosper, the whole community prospers. It's because of me. I send that rain. and they're not giving me puja. There's only one solution. Send the sun watching the clouds. The clouds of cosmic annihilation. Actually, you should understand one thing about me rash in Vrindavan. It immediately goes back after the cows eat it. Because in the spiritual world, everything is ever fresh. So the cows munch the grass and it grows back right away. There's no diminishment. Still, just to create pastimes, the Lord shows that Indra has some influence over Vrindavan. What is Indra's basic problem? It's described in Sanskrit as Isha Mana, thinking oneself to be the controller. Isha Mana. And he accused Krishna of having a problem. This talkative, foolish young boy is unaware of a complete cosmic manifestation. And the foolish residents of Vrindavan have listened to him, an inexperienced boy who doesn't understand how the cosmos works. Obviously, Indra doesn't understand. Because he was covered by pride and anger, he lost his intelligence. So please think about this, Isha Mana, imagining oneself to be the controller. That is the basic problem of the conditioned soul. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, giving the mantra of the conditioned soul, Ishvaram Bhogi Siddham Alamansuki. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm so powerful, and I'm happy too. How are you? I'm fine, I'm good. Ishvaram Bhogi Siddham Alamansuki. I'm perfect also, Siddham. Everything is fine. I've got 2 credit cards, I'm safe. The world can't touch me. This is the basic problem of conditioned existence. So, Indra tells some Bhartika cloud some background information about their mission. These cowherd men living in the forest had become intoxicated by their opulence. Aho Sri Madam. Mahatmyam. Oh, look at the madness in them produced by opulence. Opulence to such an extent that it has deluded them. Gopalam, Kananavasam. They're forest people. Coward people growing in the forest, and yet they become so mad because of opulence. And what is their main problem? Krishna Marcha Upasritya. They don't understand Krishna is an ordinary person. Krishna Marcha Upasritya. They've taken shelter of an ordinary person. Indra's going to say that twice in 2 verses. Krishna Marcha Upasritya. They've taken shelter of an ordinary person. This is a big problem. He doesn't recognize Krishna. Not only have they taken shelter of an ordinary person called Krishna, they also have offended the demigods. And then he becomes very eloquent. Because the demigods are brilliant, far beyond the intelligence of any human being. So, Indra, using Vedic knowledge, accuses the residents of Vrindavan. They have done something so foolish. Just like someone who gives up vidya, transcendental knowledge, in order to solve the problems of life through karmic activity. Similarly, they have taken shelter of Krishna, given up my puja. You see, in the Bhagavatam, even when someone wants to insult someone, it's done with philosophy. Don't you try it, but... You can see that Indra actually is an exalted person. He's just become blind. So he gives a brilliant example, but it's completely misapplied. They're taking shelter of Krishna is just like a foolish attempt of men who abandon transcendental knowledge of the self and instead tries to cross over the great ocean of material existence in the false boats of primitive ritual sacrifices. Now it's time for him to accuse Krishna again. It's always what these Dhanamaraj always likes to quote this verse. Vacharam Malishamstam Dham Agyam Panditamaniam. Once again, Krishna Marsha Vipashkutya Gomale Chakra Apriyam. Krishna is Vacharam. Taught too much. Malisha, he's a child. Stubdom, arrogant. Look how he's strutting around, even ordering his father to do this Govardhan Puja when his father wanted to do the Indra Puja. Little boy strutting around ordering his father. He's stubdom, arrogant. And Agyam, foolish, ignorant. He doesn't understand how the universe works. Panditamani, you know, he thinks himself wise. Krishna Marjama Pachu. These cowards have taken shelter of him and thus acted unfavorably toward me. So, now Indra gives his assignment to the Sambhartika gods. The prosperity of these people has made them mad. And we know prosperity is based upon the cow. You go flood Vrindavan with water. The cows will not be able to survive. And in this way, I will decrease the pride of the residents of Vrindavan. Bring their animals to destruction. Now, this is a huge problem, because in Indra's madness, he's forgotten how dear the cows are to Krishna. Of course, he thinks Krishna is an ordinary person. When you say, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, how the Lord is Brahmanya Dev, he's the Lord of Brahminical culture, the worshipful Lord of the Brahmins. Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, he's the protector of the cows and the Brahmins. Actually, the fact is that Lord Krishna likes the cows even better than the Brahmins. And here, Indra is sending the Sambhartika clouds and ordering them to destroy the cows of Vrindavan. Now, as you may know, the Sambhartika clouds had some sense of Dharma and proper behavior, so they were quite afraid of this mission. Go to Vrindavan? Flood Vrindavan with water? In other words, they're thinking, isn't there something special about that place? You want to send us, the clouds of universal destruction, to Vrindavan? Are you sure? Indra, very practical. Don't worry, I'm also going. If I'm going, in other words, you know everything's okay. I'm going on the back of Airavata, my elephant. Not only am I going, and not only are you going, but we're also going to bring some winds. We'll bring some maruts with us. About seven winds that do things in the universe. They'll come with us. So, together the job will be done. So in this way, the attack upon Vrindavan was begun. Not only did you have rain coming down in as thick as pillars, but you also had lightning, you had thunder, pieces of ice were falling. What was the effect? Very quickly, you could not tell high ground from low ground in Vrindavan. The whole situation was very, very dangerous. If during the Hurricane Katrina you saw on the news pictures of New Orleans flooded, I'm sure some of you saw that on television. It's amazing. city of 500,000 people underwater in that day. People were on top of their roofs calling out for helicopters, save me, save me. That's just ordinary material nature, Hurricane Katrina. But this is Indra personally causing something, sending the clouds of universal destruction. So, please understand the Bhagavatam's point of reference. First, the Bhagavatam in this calamity is going to give reference to the cows. The cows are suffering. They're shivering. And then it talks about the gopas and gopis, the cowherd men and cowherd ladies. First, the cows approach the Lord. And then also come the cowherd men and cowherd women. They're shaking from distress. The cows are trying to cover their heads with their bodies from the huge downpour. This is how important cows are in a real human culture. People think this is sentimental. Why do you give so much attention to cows? They don't understand that eating is the most important material function. So if you have good food, then most of your life's problems are solved, and your happiness is easily solved also, because of all the senses, as Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, the tongue is the most voracious and difficult to control. If you have nice things to eat, most of your attempts for pleasure are satisfied. Like Srila Prabhupada once said, do you know what the happiness of Indian family life is? Eating. Now, unless you know what good food is, it's hard for you to understand that point. If you go to the average, Western person and say, do you know what the happiness of family life is? Nowadays, of course, many of them will say, happiness as a family? Who needs a family? And furthermore, if there is a family, what is the happiness of family life? Watching television together. And if you're more opulent than the ordinary person, not only do you watch television together, but you have a home entertainment system. Then you have achieved the ultimate supreme destination. But actually, true family happiness is based on eating. And of course, in a devotee family, the happiness is based on Krishna Prasad. And Krishna Prasad is made of the tastiest ingredients, vegetables, especially milk products. So in this way, the cow is so important because good prasad depends on the gifts of the cow. Now, the Vrijvasis approach the Supreme Lord. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Tvannatham Gokulam Prabhu, Tvatum Adasi Devanda, Kurpitad Bhakta Vatsala. They address Lord Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Krishna, oh, most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. Oh, Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees. Please save us also. Now, what do you notice here? First, they asked for the cows to be saved. Then they said, save us also. You see how a real human civilization works? The cows are Krishna's favorites, even more than the Brahmins. The residents of Vrindavan are gopas and gopis, cowherd men and cowherd ladies. So they know everything, our whole prosperity, our way of life depends on the cow. Of course, their life of life is Krishna. And they remind Krishna, you're Bhakta Vatsala, you're so affectionate to your devotees. And we're your devotees, so please save us. Why were the residents of Vrindavan so confident that Krishna would save them? Remember what Gargarishi had said at the Namakarana ceremony, the name-giving ceremony of Krishna? When Krishna got his name, that name-giving ceremony was performed in the cowshed, so Kamsa would not take note. Gargarishi had told him, this is a special child. He will protect you all from so many dangers. So therefore, what did the Vrijavasis think as they were saying to Krishna, 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 Mahabhaga, oh most fortunate one, Krishna, Krishna, save the cows and save us. What are they thinking? Gargarishi told us this little boy is special. Therefore, we expect that Narayan will empower him to save us. But they don't think Krishna's God. And Krishna doesn't want them to think he's God. So the Vrijavasis are thinking, we know, because this little boy is special, Narayan will give him his shakti, and then we'll be safe. This is the mood in Vrindavan. Now, what is Krishna's meditation on the scene? We've got a huge disaster happening, and Krishna is right there. Vrindavan is filling up with water. Everyone is trembling from the cold. Ice is falling from the sky. Thunder and lightning. Krishna notices that the residents of Vrindavan are becoming practically unconscious because of the blasting wind and rain and hail and ice. Unconscious. Now, you should be thinking, how can it be that the residents of Vrindavan are suffering what appears to be material distress? I hope some of you are thinking about that. This is, you know, Krishna's hometown. This is Krishna's private abode. How could these devotees who are his personal associates, how could they suffer material distress? No, it is not material distress. The whole experience for the devotees is arranged by the Leela Shakti, the pastime energy of the Lord. In this way, by the arrangement of the Leela Shakti, it appears that the Vrijavasis are going through distress. But no, it is not material distress. It is a scene meant to increase their meditation on Krishna. The example the acharyas give is that if you are hungry, if you're very hungry, and then you take a nice meal, your appreciation of the meal increases. So similarly, if there's some so-called distress in Vrindavan, that increases the dependency of the Vrijavasis on the Supreme Lord, and also increases their satisfaction when Krishna saves them. Everything in Vrindavan that happens is for increasing the love. So, now sometimes people say, well, isn't it so that if you suffer in life, you'll better appreciate happiness? So shouldn't I suffer first before coming to Krishna consciousness? But this Leela in Vrindavan is not about material happiness or material stress. The residents of Vrindavan are going through a spiritual situation in which their focus upon Krishna will be increased. Their meditation upon Krishna will be increased. It is not material distress, although it looks that way. Please keep that in mind, because you're hearing that Krishna is seeing the inhabitants of Vrindavan almost unconscious from the natural disaster. And naturally, he understood Indra is doing this. Because we stopped the Indra Puja. So, what will Krishna counteract the situation with? His Atma Maya, his own personal potency. That same pure spiritual potency by which Krishna appears in this world. Sambhavam Atma Maya, as he says in the Gita. I appear in this material my own way. I've got my own personal mechanism for appearing in this world. It is not material. I appear in this world through the conduit of my spiritual energy. Similarly, the Lord is going to rectify the situation for God with his mystic personal potency. Not only will he rescue the Vrijvasis, but he will also cut down the pride of Indra. The Lord recognizes Indra's problem. He's Yamana. He thinks he's the controller. In fact, the Lord is wondering, the demigods are in Satvagun, at least. They're tranquil, they're peaceful. What happened to Indra? How has he become so mad with pride? So then the Lord, besides rescuing the Vrijvasis, comes up with a plan to reduce Indra's pride, to correct Indra's madness. Now, please bear in mind, the Acharyas explain, the Lord purposely had in mind not to crush Indra, but simply to remove his pride. Krishna is sensitive in his feelings. Krishna is very perceptive how to best deal with his devotees. So, his goal was not to crush Indra, but just to make a little surgical operation to remove Indra's pride. Because that pride was blinding Indra so much that he could not recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Vrindavan. Furthermore, besides cutting down Indra's pride, the Lord has a relationship with the Vrijvasis. He has promised, he has taken a vow that I'll always protect my devotees. Vrindavan is the Lord's hometown. The Vrijvasis are his people. There's no bodily relationship because there's no matter. But still, the Lord is relishing the appearance of ethnic identification, hometown identification. They're my people. This is my town. Who is this Indra causing a problem here? I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. So then, with his left hand, he picked up Govardhan Hill and held it up as easily as a child holds a mushroom. Now, a technical point. Krishna was in his house. He had to come out of his house in this huge deluge in order to get to Govardhan Hill. He did not become wet in this unprecedented downpour in which rain was falling as thick as pillars. Why did he not become wet? Because the Samadhi expansion of Yogamaya, a department of Yogamaya, took the job of covering Krishna as he ran from his house to Govardhan Hill. So in that way, Krishna's clothes and turban did not get wet. This is why the Upanishads say, Svabhava ki jnana bala kriya cha. The Lord has his own knowledge, strength, intelligence for getting things done. And it all happens automatically without any endeavor. So he ran from his house to Govardhan Hill. Not a drop of rain came on his clothes or dirt. And then he picked up Govardhan Hill and told, O mother, O father, O residents of Vrindavan, dies. O mother, O father, O residents of Vrindavan, take shelter under Govardhan Hill. Don't worry, I'll hold the hill. Now, you might be thinking, how can all the cowherd men, cowherd ladies, and their cows fit under Govardhan Hill? But that hill was in ecstasy because of the touch of Krishna. Therefore, the hill expanded, its base expanded to 32 miles. Furthermore, as Krishna's holding the hill went high in the sky past the clouds, so that not only were the Vrijvasis and their cows protected underneath the hill, But all the animals on the hill, like the wild pigs, the birds, the deer, they went to the top of Govardhan Hill and were safe from the storm because the top of the hill was above the clouds. In this way, Krishna protects everyone. He's the best ecologist. He's the best environmentalist. Just by lifting his left hand. And Krishna told them, don't have any fear. So in this way, everyone's mind was pacified. And they stayed under Govardhan Hill for 7 days. They didn't feel any hunger. They didn't feel any thirst. Because they're just staring at Krishna with wide open eyes. And Krishna didn't worry that Mother Yashoda is not feeding me my deal. Because he is looking at all his devotees. So everyone, the Lord and the devotees, are looking at each other. And this way, no one is thinking about hunger or thirst for 7 days. This is the power of absorption in Krishna. So tonight, we'll continue speaking about Krishna putting Govardhan Hill back down, and then Indra realizing his horrible mistake and coming and offering prayers to the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.